ahead and make your way to 1 John, if you will. We are in chapter 5. And the title of the sermon today is Blessed Assurance. And we have blessed assurance in Christ. Amen? I have a lot of people that come up to me and they'll say something like this: Pastor, can you explain why God did so and so? My response is, God doesn't owe us any explanation. God is God, and He does what is right. And you know, I've thought often about that. Even if God did explain something to us, His thoughts are so far above our thoughts that we wouldn't understand it anyway. It would be like Einstein explaining the theory of relativity to your dog. It wouldn't take. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And God doesn't give us explanations, but He gives us something better than explanations. He gives us promises. The promises of God. And one of the promises is, when we are born again as a child of God, we can absolutely, with 100% certainty, know that we have entered eternal life and one day we will go to heaven. Now that is a blessing, amen? What a promise that God gives us. One of the most prolific hymn writers in history was a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. And Fanny Crosby wasn't born blind, but at 6 weeks, she went to a doctor who happened to be a quack, and he put these mustard poultices on her eyes, and she became blind. Fanny Crosby died at 95 years of age. She had published over 9,000 hymns and poems in her life. She was born before the second president of the United States of America died, whose name was John Adams, and she lived until the 45th president of the United States was born, which was Ronald Reagan. She became somewhat of a folk hero and was invited to Washington, and she all visited with almost every single sitting president in her life. Now, even though she was not born blind and became blind at 6 weeks of age, she said, I was never bitter about what happened to me. And we sang one of the hymns that she wrote, Blessed Assurance. That's where I got the title for the sermon today. And I just want to rehash some of this with you, because when you think this is a blind lady writing this hymn, and watch what it says, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, what we're going to get of glory divine. Heir of salvation, we are His heir. Purchase of God, His blood. Born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Washed in His blood, Jesus' blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Now I'm going to skip down to the third verse, and I want you to hear this, because remember, this is a blind lady writing this, and listen to her words. Perfect submission, all is at rest. In other words, I'm not battling for my salvation, I'm resting in my salvation. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Now listen to this. Watching and waiting and looking above. She's blind, but she's looking above with spiritual eyes, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. What an incredible, incredible hymn that is. And we do have blessed assurance. So I want you to stand with me, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Starting in 1 John chapter 5, we'll start in verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We overcome by our belief. This is he who came by water and blood, remember that, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because of the Spirit of truth. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now listen to this verse. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may, K-N-O-W, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Father in heaven, I pray today that our ears, eyes, and hearts would be open to receive your word. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible passage, and thank you, Father, for giving us the absolute certainty that we can know, that we know, that we know that we're a child of God based upon your word and what you have spoken to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. John wrote about knowing for certain that you've been born again. And I am so thankful that he penned this little epistle to give us absolute assurance in the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross, knowing that we can know that we are born again because of the witness and the testimony that is within us. Did you notice that word testify or testimony? It's used 8 times in those few verses that I just read to you. We can know because the testify. That word testify is a unique word. It's often translated witness. And it also is used, it's where we get the word martyr from. And a martyr is someone who testifies to their faith in Christ by giving up their life to show with absolute certainty, I am a child of God, and I will stand fast for the truth of the Word of God. Now, if you testify, you're brought to a court of law, and you are to testify, they will say that you speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. And the testimony that we're getting is this is the truth, and you can testify because of the truth that is in you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us the ability to know that we are born again in the family of God, that we can testify to the fact of Christ in us, our hope and glory. So there's three things that I want to share that are in our text today that will help us to understand this. Three major points. Number one, the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. Before Jesus went to the cross, he promised the disciples that he was going to send someone after him, a helper comparable to him, who would guide and direct their life, that would represent him. And we know that's the Holy Spirit of God. And he said, I have been with you, he shall be in you. And because he is in you, it's a down payment of your salvation. You will know that you know that you're born again. Now, if you'll notice, the Holy Spirit's job is never to point attention to himself. It's always to point attention to Christ. And the Holy Spirit does not desire to be lifted up. The Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus that he may be glorified. In fact, in John's Gospel, in chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus said, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, what's he going to do? He's going to testify of me. In other words, what the Holy Spirit does, he points people to Jesus. Go to Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. But the Holy Spirit prompts us. Now, there's two witnesses that we have here in our text. There's the witness of the water and the witness of the blood. Now, what does that mean? When you think of water and you think of blood, it brings something to mind with me. And I think of John chapter 19, when Jesus was upon the cross, the Sabbath day was coming and they needed those men to be off the cross, so they went to both thieves and broke their legs, because then they couldn't push themselves up to get a breath of air and they would suffocate. But when they came to Jesus, Jesus was already dead, but to certify his death, what the soldier did, he took a spear and pushed it through the side of Jesus into the pericardial sac, and out of that pericardial sac, which surrounds the heart, came out blood and water. And that blood and water testified that Jesus was dead. Now, when we think about that, it's interesting that the water and the blood, now why would that be so interesting? And why is that so important? Because of the water and the blood, they flowed together. And the water represents the cleansing power of God's Word. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, our text says that he might sanctify, he's talking about the church, cleanse her with the washing of water by what? The Word. The Word. What is the Word? Well, we know Jesus is the Word, and we have the Word of God in our hands today. Whether you have an actual Bible or you have a device, we have the very Word of God, and we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Now, the water purifies, and Jesus cleanses us with that washing of the water from the Word. But what happens is, then we have the blood, and the blood absolutely cleanses us and purifies us from our sin and the penalty of our sin. So we have the water of the Word, and basically you'd look at it like this. We have the Word that we might live our lives clean before God, because His Word tells us how we should live, what we should do, and what we should not do. So as we read more of the Word of God, we grow deeper in our faith, and we want to disappoint God less and less. So we go to the Word, and as James said, it's like a mirror reflecting back what we are in our lives to us. It shows us the truth. But when we stay away from the Word, guess what? We get further away, and then we soil ourselves because we're not in God's Word. But the blood, on the other hand, what the blood does, it sanctifies us, it cleanses us, it from the penalty of our sin, knowing that we are saved. So the blood, it's how we're born again. The Word, the water, the washing of the water of the Word is how we stay clean with God, how we continue to please Him in our lives by staying close to Him. Now, we sang the song Rock of Ages, and I love that song. And it uses a term that being cut. And let me just read this to you. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. And a lot of people say, what in the world is cleft for me? Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath, that's what the blood does, and make me pure, that's what the water does. Now, cleft, what does that mean? It means to open up. It means to cut. And it's not like a cleft of a rock where we hide, but it's the cleft where Jesus' side was pierced. He was opened up for us, and the blood flowed from Him. And that's what the word cleft means. It means to open up. And let that blood, what does it say? Be of sin the double cure. Now here's the spiritual truth to that. The spiritual truth is this. It's a double cure because of the water and the blood. The water, the washing of the Word, is what it does. It cleanses us. And then the blood takes the penalty for our sin. The water deals with the pollution of our sin. And that water of the washing of the Word is how we are cleansed. We continue to stay close to Christ. So, two witnesses. Number one, the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus from our text. Number two, the Holy Spirit testifies in a believer. Now, that's the second reason that I have blessed assurance, because the Holy Spirit testifies within us, testifying that we are truly a child of God and that we are in a right relationship with Him. You see, when Jesus left and He sent the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in our life. And He takes up residence within us to confirm to us the truth of His Word and the assurance of our salvation and how we should live. I mean, it's like, you might say, well, it's a conscience. Well, it's more than conscience. And we can have a conscience, but the Holy Spirit also pricks our conscience and consciousness and lets us know, listen, you are wrong. And when He comes to take up residence in our life, I love the passage out of Romans chapter 8. In verse 14 through 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now hang on to that, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And I say amen to that. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that incredible hope. Now, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, the Lord told me to tell you. And I was thinking, wait. Why didn't the Lord just tell me and leave you out of it? Because usually when they come and say, the Lord told me to tell you, they're usually going to be critical. But the Lord is the one who speaks to us. Through the Holy Spirit. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but when I have studied and read and prayed, I felt the presence of God. His voice coming through His Word, and His voice coming through His Spirit. And you know what? God's Holy Spirit will never contradict God's Holy Word. Be absolute truth. It will be the same. Now, let's just do a little test here, okay? I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to play along. I want you to be real quiet, and I want you to be real still, and close your eyes, bow your heads, and I want you to pray for just a couple of seconds for God to confirm in your heart that you're His child. So let's do that. Amen. You say, Pastor, I didn't hear a voice. Neither did I. I didn't hear a voice either. But you know what I did experience? Assurance in my heart that I'm a child of God. Because God will give us that assurance. So let me ask you a question. When you prayed, did you call God Father? Because He is our Father. And that word Father is so powerful in the original language. You know what it means? Abba. Daddy. Or maybe when you had a child, a little baby, Dada. Dada. And that's who God is. He is our Father. He is our Daddy. He is our Dada. He's our Papa. And the Spirit of God will give witness to us that we are a child of God. Now, that confirms the fact of the truth of the Word of God. Now, the problem, though, is this, and I want you to hear this. People let their feelings dictate what they experience or who they are. And I want you to know, I've said over and over and over again, your feelings are the most fickle part of your being. Your feelings change constantly. People say, I just don't feel saved. Feelings don't have anything to do with it. Zero. Nothing. Sometimes I wake up and wrong side of the bed and I don't feel so loving toward my wife. But the fact of the matter is, I love my wife. And I know there happen to be days that she wakes up and feels the same. Yes, she gave me the look. But here's the second, well, here's the sequence to our relationship with God. First, there are facts. Facts. Then there's faith. And then there's feelings. And it's like the old Crusade for Christ. They had this little booklet they published, and it was of a old coal-burning train. How many of you have watched old westerns with old coal-burning trains? Yeah, all of us older folks especially. And the coal-burning train, the first part of that is the engine, and that's the fact. What are the facts? The facts are this. Jesus is God. Jesus came to a Virgin Mary and was born into the human race, becoming not only 100% God, but 100% man. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross and died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb for 3 days. He resurrected on the third day. He ascended back to heaven after 40 days. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now. And one day He's coming back for us. Amen? Those are the facts. But then there's faith. And faith is the coal car. And the fact, without the faith, the train would never go down the track. But when you take the coal car and you start shoveling in by faith into the facts, guess what? That train starts going. So you have to have faith along with your facts. You'll never see one of those old engines going down the railroad track without coal. It can't. So we need the fact, the Word of God. We need faith to make that engine go. And then thirdly come feelings. And you may or may not have feelings. Feelings are caboose. You'll never see the caboose going down the railroad track by itself. It just pulled along. And did you notice the order? Fact. Here's the truth. My faith. And then comes my feelings. Now, don't depend on your feelings is what I'm telling you. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tell us these words. For by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. And that, not of yourself, what is it? It is the gift of God. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You just accept it. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we can't work for our salvation. And there are too many people saying, well, I've just got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this so I'll be saved. No. You got it all wrong. You work from your salvation, not for your salvation. And as we're born again in the family of God, what you want to do is please God by your lives. Are you happy that you're a Christian today? Are you happy that you're a Christian today? Amen. You know, I may get in trouble for this, but Sandy and I are different creatures. I mean, we're totally different in every way possible. She wakes up in the morning. I learned this really early on in our marriage. She wakes up and says, "Good morning, Lord." I'm not a morning person. I wake up and it's, "Oh, Lord, it's morning." You know, if feelings were how you were saved, I don't really wake up and get going good till about noon. I mean, that's just who I am. I'm not a morning. I get up early, but I don't like getting up early. And if salvation were based on your feelings, if the Lord returned before noon, I probably wouldn't make it. But salvation isn't based upon feelings. It's based upon the faith and the facts of the Word of Almighty God. So, two things testify so far. The Holy Spirit testifies through Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit testifies in a believer. And the third point that I want to make is the Holy Spirit testifies through the Scripture. Now, you can have blessed assurance because of these three things and what God says to us. The Word of God is the central message. It has one central message from Genesis to Revelation, and it's two words. Here's the central message, and don't miss this, from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. You know what it is? Jesus saves. That's it. Jesus saves. Every book in the Word of God testifies to the truth of Jesus Christ that He saves. Now, a few years ago, maybe you were with us. Do you remember us going through the Gospel of John? It took about 3 years to get through that. Anybody remember that? We went from John 1:1 all the way to the end of John. And the Gospel of John, written by the same author of 1 John, you know what the Gospel of John's about? It's testifying about Jesus Christ, how you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the entire message of the book. You know what the entire message of the book of 1 John is? You can K-N-O-W, that you're a child of God. So John says you can be a child of God. 1 John says you can know that you're a child of God. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, again, I'll read it. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may K-N-O-W, you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You can know that you have eternal life. Listen, I have two children, and they have never asked me, "Daddy, are you my daddy? Are you really my daddy?" They've never asked me that. You know why? Because they K-N-O-W, I'm their daddy. A couple of reasons. They kind of look like me, which is a misfortune. And my son acts more and more like me all the time. We can know how. I mean, when we know that we're a child of God, and guess what? You're going to live out the likeness of your father. And that's what we do. Look at verse 11 and 12 again. This is a testimony that God has given us of eternal life, and this life is in where? His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. So there are two things here I want you to understand. Number one, there's the source of eternal life, and then there's the quality of eternal life. And the source of eternal life is the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ. But there's this quality of eternal life that we often don't think about. And we think about the quantity, we think about the length of eternal life. But the quality of eternal life we find in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And here's what Jesus said about Himself. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Not only is He the source of life, He is the certainty of eternal life. Now, when does eternal life start? And sometimes you'll read in the obituary, He entered eternal life. No, you don't enter eternal life. When you enter eternal life, it's when you're born again. That's when eternal life starts, when we are born again by the Spirit of God. Now, when you stand before Almighty God, and He asked the question, why should I let you into my heaven? Do not make the terrible mistake of saying, well, when I was a young child or a young teenager, I had an emotional experience. Wrong answer. Your answer should be, because I place my faith in the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, upon Calvary's cross, and I believe the facts of the Word of God, and my faith is still as certain now as it ever was that He did it all. Bear Bryant was born in Arkansas, coached at Alabama the last years of his life, won several national championships there. People used to say in Alabama before Nick Saban got there, Bear Bryant walked on water. Well, Bear Bryant, there's a lot of stories out there about Bear. But one story that he told when he'd go and speak at different conferences, he'd tell the story of a game that they were ahead. They were down on the 5-yard line. Time was running out. All they needed to do was run the clock out. His first string quarterback was injured. His second string quarterback was in, who was slow as molasses. And he said, son, He said, just hand the ball off and kill the clock. Well, second string quarterback, okay, coach. Goes out there and he hands the ball off to the halfback. He runs for a couple yards. He stopped. Time's ticking on. Hands it off the second time. Time's ticking off. He takes the third time. He takes the ball and he just happens to look up and there's a tight end, the corner of the end zone, all by himself. And he thought, this is my opportunity to be the hero. So he throws the ball instead of handing it off. Problem was, they had an All-American safety back there who jumped the route, intercepted the ball, and began running down the field. And the only person that could stop him was that slow-footed quarterback. He made it to the 50, the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10. And at the 5-yard line, that quarterback ran him down and tackled him. Time expired. Coach Bryant went to the field, middle of the field, to shake hands with the opposing coach. He said, Coach Bryant, he said, I just got to know. He said, our scouting report said that your second string quarterback was the slowest member of your team and our safety was the fastest member of my team. How did he run him down? He said, well, it's like this. He said, your man was running for a touchdown and my man was running for his life. Well, here's the point of that, because you're probably thinking, what's the point of that? Here's the point. Some people feel like they're still running for their eternal life, and the finished work has already been done. We just have to have faith in the facts of what God has said. Would you bow with me? If you have a need today, I'm going to ask you to come and pray. Maybe give your life to Christ if you never have. Whatever the need is, you come. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for saving us. And thank you for giving us assurance. And Father, I am so grateful that since I was a little boy, 9.5 years old, I trusted you and I trusted the facts. And Lord, I still do to this day. So thank you for salvation. And I pray, Father, that anyone that is not certain, they would make certain today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.